is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Da-da-da-da. Hello, and welcome to the Wednesday podcast here on Post Show Recaps. My name is Marissa Garza, and it's family weekend. I'm so glad you're here with us, but I'm also so glad I do not have to go through this weekend alone. LaTanya Stark is here to help me out. LaTanya, how are you?
I'm great and very grateful that I am not having a parents' weekend anytime soon.
Those were always, like, weird.
Not only were they weird, but they were clearly for people with money, you know?
Yes.
Most people just can't. I mean, I had the luxury of the fact that my family lived in Chicago and I went to college in Evanston. So it was a car ride. But like a lot of my friends' families could not come because they just couldn't afford to book a ticket and then stay at the only hotel in Evanston.
Yeah. You know, and then like it was that. Like a forced family get together.
Yes. And it was like all awkward and, you know, like, yeah. I know.
I mean, just because you buy a sweatshirt that says mom on it, or dad on it, you know, but it was like a thing. It was like a rite of passage.
It really was. Yeah.
Anyway, you're not here for the Marissa and LaTanya walk down college memory lane.
You're
That's
not?
Another podcast.
Okay.
That's another one.
I guess.
But as always, we do have some housekeeping or announcements.
You know what? I've decided I'm going to give it a week. See if people like it.
And then we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it or no.
Okay. All right.
I want to let the people decide. This is a Democratic Wednesday podcast.
Sounds good. Well, we are coming to you in our own new feed. We have our own feed. We are now found at postshowrecaps.com/Wednesday-feed.
Yeah, we got our own feed. We cute.
Yeah. There you can find all of the episodes we've already done. And just as a reminder that while you may have watched all of the episodes of Wednesday, because there are only eight,
yes,
we are watching and potting as we go along, episode by episode, trying to solve the mystery alongside Wednesday. So that is the perspective in which we are coming to you with. And then we also ask that you don't spoil us on anything beyond this episode if you run into us on the internet or anything like that.
Yeah, please don't. I will find you.
Oh. You heard it.
I wanna solve a mystery and I have a new theory this week. So
ooh.
Yeah, I
have lost track of all of the theories.
No, we've done a terrible job.
I think someone in the Discord said that I was right, or we were right about something. Like, I don't know who was right about something, but then I was like, do I remember what it is? No, we don't. Nobody knows.
From my notes from the second episode, I believe, is when we did all the theorizing. I can kind of remember what a bunch of them were, but I'd have to go back and look at those notes.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the fun.
Yeah.
Here on the Wednesday podcast. Well, we are here to take a look at episode 5 titled You Reap What You Wow. What did you think, LaTanya?
You know, I now understand what Luis Guzman and Catherine Zeta-Jones got paid for.
Yeah.
No, overall, I thought that this was a really good episode because it finally brought the family together. You know, we are used to seeing the Addams family work as a unit, but it also, more importantly, brought mother and daughter together to find some kind of common ground so that, you know, Wednesday can learn more about her mother, more about herself, and more about the power that they share.
Yeah, I mean, and I also, you know, it was cool to see Wednesday and Morticia kind of like have their moment, but also like everyone else is having mom problems. Like, I was like, is this a prerequisite to go to the school that you have like a strained relationship with your mom? Like, I
feel like it's a prerequisite to go to any university in America that you have problems with your parents. It was on my comment app, that's for sure. I had to check both.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know what the show's trying to tell us with that. I thought it was just
everybody has issues with their parents, and you know,
yeah. But in this case, it was like specifically the moms. Like, the dads were like supportive, the ones that we saw, except for Xavier's dad not being there.
Yeah,
but being,
like, just not there at all. Yes, that's true. I think that sometimes you've only read one Freud textbook, and then.
Yeah, Tim Burton's not necessarily like known for his deep psychoanalysis.
Right. So, you know, he's not writing these episodes, though.
That's true.
Honestly, thank God, because I don't know if I'd be able to deal with that.
So at the start of this episode, we get a little glimpse as to what happened on the night of the Raven in 1990. This Raven goes throughout time. Everyone's Raven.
It's so Raven. You know that in like the 1900s, someone came up with, we'll call it the Raven. How droll. And then it just stuck because it's an old boarding school.
Well, it turns out that the Raven in 1990 was very, very central to our story here, because it turns out that is the night that Gomez was accused of attempted murder.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah. So we learn that the person that he is accused of attempted murder for, his name is Garrett Gates. And apparently there was like, he was into Morticia while Gomez was into Morticia. And we basically learn that Garrett has died that night because Larissa Weems is out for a walk in the rain.
Oh, Lord.
And all of a sudden, thud, Garrett just falls right in front of her. She looks up, and who is there? It's Gomez Addams with a possible murder weapon just looking down. And so Gomez gets arrested that night for attempted murder. And the person who arrests him is the sheriff, but that person is the current mayor of Jericho. Dun, dun, dun. Lots of tying of things. We were waiting for this. We were waiting to kind of see what happened. I thought it was a little interesting that they just kind of like brought this back up.
I know.
There was no transition or anything. It was just like, we're going to talk about the murder now.
Honestly, I'm not surprised that the owner of the black owner of Pilgrim World was a cop. You know?
I mean,
it's not that shocking to me.
I'm also not surprised that this involved a love triangle of some sort.
Yes. I don't think that any crime or caper that the Addams, that Gomez and Morticia ever participates in could be anything other than love based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They really are couples goals, if you think about it. They love each other so much.
Through time. like all this time since they were kids.
Well,
this is all setting up because it is family weekend at Nevermore. And so now we flash to the present and Principal Weems is addressing the parents saying, hey, I know you kind of like heard some stuff about this creature attacking your kids in the woods, but don't worry. Nevermore is a safe haven for your children. And the person who was most recently attacked, Eugene, he's on the mend. So don't worry about it. And once he's like, if you mean in a coma, like,
Eugene is in bad shape, but I'm glad to know that he's not a gonfer.
Yeah, agree. I'm glad he's still around. And, you know, I it was interesting to see throughout this episode Wednesday's connection with Eugene and just like how much for him a couple of times. We also learn there have been no attacks this week. What do we think that's about? How could there be no attacks this week?
That's an interesting question. I have to wonder if it works on the animal, or what monster works on a cycle of some kind that's connected maybe to the moon. I don't know. Yeah, I have a theory. We'll talk about it later. Or maybe they are just laying low, as both, I think both Enid and Wednesday talked about this together. Because you know that there's not ever been more heat than right now. The cops are out there. They're trying to figure out who the killer is.
Yeah, that's true. But that would mean that this creature has, I mean, it has to have some sort of intelligence if it's like cutting off parts of bodies and stuff like that. But it's definitely like aware of things like murder investigations.
But because we learned last episode, or was it the one before, that it's, you know, a human.
Right. There's like human footprints. Yeah. It turns into a human. But that means that the conscious, like it's a conscious switch
for
or something like that.
To with an instinct, I guess, to save Wednesday.
For some reason. We don't know yet. We don't know yet. Wednesday is so thrilled that it's family weekend and her family is there, almost as thrilled as Enid. I like that they're able to bond over the fact that they just don't want to like talk to their moms.
Yeah, they really don't. Enid, for way better reasons, I think, than what Wednesday has. Wednesday is just being a teenager right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of the things that she says to her parents, you know, since you left, you abandoned me here, I've been hunted, haunted, almost murdered. Sound like things that are right up Wednesday's alley, frankly.
I mean, sounds like, like a to-do list for her.
So I don't understand why she's so angry with, except for, you know, she's a detective. And so in her mind, her family's been lying to her for her entire life because they haven't told her anything about this, about Gomez being once arrested for murder.
Yeah. Secrets. Mm-hmm. Not so great.
But Enid's mom is the worst.
Enid's mom is like really, like she just comes right out the gate. I mean, super judgy.
Yes.
Like, not great.
No. Enid even did a countdown of how long it would take for her. Yeah. You did it in 3 seconds.
She was going to give her 30. She was being generous. Uh-huh. But yeah, super judgy. And mainly because she really wants Enid to like wolf out and be normal, whatever that means.
Whatever that is.
We also learned, were you surprised the thing was working as a double agent?
Oh, not at all. I mean, Gomez was the one that released him from his little hatch in the car anyway. So they knew that he would be up there. And I just always assumed it was to make sure that Wednesday was okay and report back, because Wednesday's not going to answer any of those mirror ball calls or whatever. But then was able to be flipped immediately, literally and figuratively, by Wednesday. So I'm loving Thing as a double agent, you know?
I don't think Thing would have it any other way.
No.
He's there to serve the whole family, the the other parts of our group here, of our teenage little group, Bianca and Xavier, are like not down with everybody else in the Pentagon quad. They are looking over, and we learn, you know, that Xavier's dad isn't going to show up. But before that, Bianca calls him out and is like, hey, yeah. Look, did I miss an apology from you? Because you were super jerky to me at the Raven. And I thought that was great.
I thought that was great too. I really like Bianca. I've liked Bianca from the start. I had no ill feelings toward her whatsoever because it was Wednesday who wanted to do the military challenge or whatever you call it in fencing. And she just happened to lose. Bianca has probably been on her Queen Bee shtick for a long time and probably has some sharp edges. And we'll learn why later in this episode. But yeah, overall, I think that it, you know, Joy Sunday is doing a great job with this role. Mm-hmm. I love that she calls Xavier out. And I also love that she, even though she's mad at him, probably still, she's willing to ask him about his dad and how he feels about the fact that he's not there.
Yeah, I thought it was like one of the more mature conversations we've seen between the two of them. It wasn't like you're manipulating me or anything like that. It was just like, hey, you owe me an apology.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I know that you're probably hurting because your dad's not here.
Yeah.
And Bianca totally thought that she was going to be in the same boat. She was going to be parentless on family weekend. But she turns around and turns out her mom has arrived. And the look on Bianca's face, she looked a little scared to me.
Yeah, she looked horrified. You know, we find out later that Bianca has some secrets of her own.
Mm-hmm.
But she also just kind of looked like, you know, a child who's been suffering from trauma, who mm-hmm. all of a sudden gets a flash that their biggest nightmare is just there in the flesh. So
yeah, I was like, oh, intrigue.
Yeah, plots to bring disaster. yeah, I was very much worried about what was going on with Bianca and her mom. And then the second I saw Gabrielle, as I believe is her mom's name, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's something. This is why Bianca is the way that Bianca is. Got it.
Yeah. I think they are similar in ways, much like Morticia and Wednesday are. And I think mm-hmm. that there's a lot more that Wednesday and Bianca can bond about now that we know a little bit more about her mom.
Exactly.
So the Adams family goes to the principal's office for like some reason, and they have like, I just didn't understand why. I was like, okay, I guess
I can have this
conversation about, I guess it was like because of Wednesday's like
oh yeah, on whether or not she was fitting in. Yeah
but I was just like, oh, convenient.
I also think that Morticia is exactly the type of person, because she is very kind and she's sweet. And so she would be like, oh, my old roomie, we have to go say hi to her if we're here. Because she has way fonder memories of that time than Weems has of that time.
Yeah. Morticia's like all into looking at the old yearbook, thinking about the Solstice talent show mm-hmm. where they did a duet. Weems was Judy Garland and did a great Julie Garland impression. Wink, wink.
Uh-huh. I love that I like immediately knew which song it was that they were talking about. I was like, oh, they did Happy Days and Get Happy. Wonderful. I love it already. The Broadway baby in me was very excited for a flashback that we didn't get. But yeah, this was very interesting turn of phrase that we get here from Morticia that will factor into there are mysteries on mysteries in this show, by the way. It's not just the mystery of who the monster is. There are so many mysteries in this show.
It's definitely like, get out your red string. There's a lot of connections to connect here. But yes, Principal Weems tells the Adams family that Wednesday's assimilation has been rocky because she speaks her mind. Well, of course, because people don't like to hear the truth sometimes, especially in situations where you're trying to assimilate to a culture that had tried to outcast you many, many years, many, many, many times before. And she tells the family that The therapist has recommended a family session of therapy this weekend. And Morticia automatically is like, no, like this is a no-go for me. But Gomez is like, if it'll help Wednesday,
yeah,
I'll go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a pretty good reason why Morticia doesn't want to go to family therapy. Are you kidding me? And we ultimately see the results of this. And I don't just mean Pugsley fully eating potpourri and thinking that it's like candy of some sort.
That's classic Adams family stuff.
It
that
really
was cool
is.
To see.
That was great.
So the family agrees to go to the session, and I just have to say, watching the hearse drive through Jericho was quite funny.
Yes. I think that's an image, that's a gift that I'm going to need for different occasions. Really great there. And, you know, just to see how everyone in Jericho kind of reacts, because, you know, there are a lot of what the people in Jericho would consider strange people, but the Adams family all assembled, my goodness.
I mean, they're stark contrasts to their surroundings.
Exactly. Yeah. They stick out just a little.
Yep. And while the hearse drives through Jericho, goes by the weather vane, and this is where we catch up with the sheriff and Tyler. And, you know, the sheriff's just following up on things. They have a little conversation about somehow Tyler knew that the Adams family were going to therapy. I mean, I guess he could see out the window, but he's like,
right,
they care enough to go to therapy with her. And then the sheriff has to leave because there's been a new crime. He has found out that the local coroner has shot himself. So he's got to go. Another mystery
that I think I solved.
Yeah.
But yeah, we could talk more about that later. You know, we saw this coroner, and even the sheriff points this out. He was looking forward to retiring.
Yep.
Looking forward to going on a cruise with his wife. You know, people
it was
like that.
Surprising news.
Yeah, very surprising. People like, you know, who are looking forward to things don't typically kill themselves.
But I will say, and this is on a serious note, most people who have high functioning depression can put on a mask of sorts where they look fine. So just because in the last episode, this person may have had these things, basically what I'm trying to say is remember to check on your friends.
Yes.
And check
on
the people that may seem like they don't need someone, because most times the strong ones need somebody because they just don't know how to ask for help or don't feel safe enough to ask for help. So
yeah,
this is your, the more you know PSA, check on your friends.
Check on your friends. Look out for behavior called pink clouding, which is exactly what Marissa described in, you know, feeling that saying everything's great, looking forward to new things, you know, and take this seriously, please.
Yeah. And I mean, in terms of the coroner, we had a very, very small sliver of time with him. Like, we don't know like the whole picture or anything like that, but I just wanted to put it out there, just because someone's looking forward to something doesn't mean that there might not be a, like, this I think in this case is nefarious. Like, I think there's something not right about the situation,
about
the, this was real life.
That's very
there's
true.
A larger conversation here.
I appreciate you bringing that up.
So what did you think of this therapy session?
Yikes. Well, most of it seemed to star Wednesday standing far in the back away from her parents, just staring at a file. So,
yeah, I mean, like, Wednesday knew, right? Like, she knew. She's like, okay, fine. You want me to go to therapy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make, just like I do every other therapy session, I'm going to make it my own thing. She takes no time. She takes the file. She stands in front of her parents.
No.
Like, when were you going to talk to me about this? Who's Garrett Gates? Like, out the gate. Like, that's just how she takes it. And all in front of the therapist.
Yeah. You don't air your family's dirty laundry like that, confronting them about something like murder in therapy.
Well, I mean, it's a safe space.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sure she could have initiated that exact same conversation anywhere else.
I think, you know, I wonder if she was thinking that, like, her parents would have, like, different behavior because they're in, like, a different environment, one that I think she sees Nevermore as a place that they kind of, like, own, for lack of a better term.
That makes sense.
And not saying that she owns the therapist office, but it's, like, neutral territory.
I mean, she owned that therapist office when she, like, skedaddled out the window, so...
Sure did. Sure did. We also learned that Pugsley misses her because he misses being waterboarded. Classic. We did get some good Addams Family stuff this episode. It was good to see.
Yeah.
Wednesday storms out. She's like, I'm going to have to excavate the truth myself. I'm going to go. Pugsley's eating potpourri. Morticia walks out and she's like really mad at Wednesday.
Oh yeah, she's upset.
She's like, you don't know the full story. And then I'm just asking myself, like, that why don't you just tell her then? Like why are you mad at her for not knowing something you haven't told her?
Well, it's probably pretty hard to tell your daughter that you murdered this dude one time.
Sure, but I don't think, like, she didn't do it maliciously. Like, it was an accident.
Was it on Morticia's part? I mean, I think that she was trying to alleviate the threat. I think that she thought of it as self-defense.
Yes, I think,
you know, he didn't have a weapon. I guess, no, that's a lie. He had the sword.
Yes.
And she took it from him.
Yes.
So, but at that point, in taking the sword away from him, the threat is neutralized. So sticking him with the sword is an escalation.
Did you see her lunge into it? I just thought it was like, oh, look, it's the sword. And then he like runs into it. I was like, oh, what do I do with this?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to watch this scene like the Zapruder film. Ooh. Just over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll come back on the show. So we might have to do our own investigation.
Who knew that she put a Chicago reference in here? He ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
10 times. Chicago the musical, not the town.
Yeah.
Well, also back at the weather vane, Bianca's having coffee with her mom. And I have to say, I was not expecting this type of character development from Bianca, especially in episode 5. Like, this is some late stage info we got here. So basically, we learned that Bianca comes from a cult community of sorts called Morning Song. Her name used to be Brandy Jane. And her mom is like in charge of recruiting for the cult, which totally makes sense because she's a siren and she can like convince people to do stuff. Mm-hmm. But her siren song is drying up. And so basically she's coming to Bianca to be like, listen, you got to help me keep our numbers.
Yeah. It's so creepy.
Yeah.
You know, what her mom is doing. And then the fact that she threatens her own daughter with letting everyone know the truth of how her daughter got into Nevermore.
Which was, she sirened her way in.
She sirened her way in, which honestly is just entrepreneurial, in my opinion.
Well, I feel like you're always told to use your gifts.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're escaping a cult, like for sure I'm going to siren song my way into this school.
Well, and it's a school with other sirens, so exactly. She can't be like the only one that used that to her advantage along the way.
No.
Unless they explicitly put on the application not to use your powers. I don't think she did anything that any other, you know, people who are good at sports play sports in high school so they can get in certain colleges. I don't know if that's any different.
Yeah.
So, or good at music. Are in the band and stuff. So, you know, it's just her extracurricular activity.
Exactly.
But yeah, she basically, you know, her mom tells her, like, you're going to come with me. You have until the end of this week to say goodbye to everyone. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Is this like a cult emergency? A cult urgency?
It's a cult urgency. Yeah.
And are these Morning Song people? What do they do? Like, I
have so many questions. Like, you know, we often talk about how TV shows are bloated nowadays and they have episodes about characters that we don't really need. But I need the episode about Bianca's origin story and her growing up in a cult. And I understand recruitment is down, but you still have the amount of people that you have now, right? Why is it have to happen so quickly that she has to leave?
What if the cult is connected to the creature?
Wow. Sure. I mean, why not?
Sure. I know, right? Like, why not? There's like some sort of weird, I don't know, but I'm just putting it out there for me not to remember later.
That's a great one. Our listeners will kind of remember for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a feeling we'll see a little bit more about this. I'm guessing they'll probably come to us next episode with some more Bianca stuff to sort of like, they wouldn't drop this now and then not quickly resolve it.
Yeah.
Before, because your penultimate and ultimate episodes have to be about Wednesday. So I feel like episode 6 will be a little more Bianca-y than we've seen in the past.
Which would be great. It's just very late in an 8-episode show to be introducing whatever this is.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're doing that for possible season 2 story arcs or anything like that. I don't know. I have lots of questions.
That's also a possibility. I'm just glad that they're not openly making the only dark-skinned black person who is a named character the villain of the show anymore. Because different dark-skinned black people are villains of the show.
Like, we're going to keep the same thesis, but we're going to mix it up just a little. Not great. It's not great. We will, just everyone so you are aware, we will be having a wrap-up show for this podcast, and we will plan on talking a little bit more about that kind of stuff there. But, she's still seen as manipulative in this situation, which is, like, a whole, like, commentary on women as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that could be said, but I want to see kind of how this storyline
goes. I want to know who the ultimate villain is. I've got some more theories.
I'm gonna go
we'll forget
with trauma.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah,
it's always
the ultimate villain is trauma. That is correct. Because whomever this person is that is turning into this monster has got to be experiencing some major trauma.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. Speaking of trauma, Wednesday goes to visit someone who's had a lot of physical trauma recently.
Yeah.
Goes to see Eugene in the hospital.
Right.
And he's like hooked up majorly to all the things. And she brought him honey. She took care of hive number 5. And made sure that thing is there watching over him.
Yeah. So I thought that was very sweet because earlier in the episode, Ina was talking about, you haven't gone to visit him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I've had Thing there the whole time.
And
I would have known instantly if anything went wrong.
Thing can't keep a secret, so you know he's gonna tell her.
No.
Somehow.
Still trying to figure out how Thing communicates, because everyone's always like, slow down.
How do you think he sees? I think it's vibes. I was thinking about this, like, I really thought about this for probably longer than I should have.
Okay.
So I was like, he probably picks up on the energy of the people and things around him and is able to, like, at least know locally where things are. But I don't know how he watches anything. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of unknowns.
It is a lot of unknowns. The alternate title for this show.
True. Very true. We also find out that Eugene has two moms, and his moms know who Wednesday is.
Yeah.
And his moms know that he loves bees and calls them fuzzy wuzzy babies.
Oh my gosh. That is just classic of parents to completely and totally eviscerate you with in terms of popularity, even when you're in a coma.
Yeah.
They're gonna do it. You know, they're gonna bring out the baby pictures next.
Yep. So that was a heartwarming moment. Before we get back to crime, if we go to the medical examiner's office, this is where we see the sheriff kind of investigating the scene. We find out that the gun was the coroner's. He used his own gun. There's no video because there was black bubble gum on the camera.
Yep.
And he left this note that says that he felt guilty about an old case and has been living with it forever, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And this case was the Garrett Gates case. Da da da.
Yeah. Clearly planted. You know?
It's a little too convenient.
It's way convenient.
Yeah.
That is what happens.
Interesting that, you know, Gomez comes to town. And Wednesday says this later, too. It's like, don't you think it's a little weird that, like, my dad's in town and then this happens? It's a little sus.
It's very sus. And I'll tell you, my chief suspect is Weems.
Okay.
You know?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Huh.
Okay. All right. Let's sit with it for a bit. Let me see.
Okay.
I mean... It probably could be, but I think it's like I want it to not be her.
Well, I want it to not be her as well, but I just think of the kind of noted hate that she has for Morticia. And, you know, she would see it as not necessarily righting a wrong, but something that would get to Morticia if Gomez was taken away and put in prison and he had just happened, you know, this man just happens to kill himself on right before parents weekend. She knew that Gomez would be in town. It's all pretty sus.
It is. I mean, she's high up there. She's high up there. The only thing that keeps me from being 100% in is the fact that she was in, like, she can't, I don't think she's working alone.
I agree with you.
Because she was at the end of the episode, she's in her office when the fire will rain thing comes out, and I think she's maybe working with Miss Thornhill or somebody else.
You know, we got nothing of Miss Thornhill this episode.
She just clapped.
Yep.
And but... that with the vampires, she was sitting with the fangs.
Oh, I don't know what that says.
I don't know either.
But it's very possible that the two of them could be in on it together. I just would, I don't know. I just feel like we're getting really into the like midst of things. We're getting down to the last three episodes. Am I right? So we've got to get some questions answered because there are so many questions and it's not going to be not possible, but it's not going to be coherent if all of these mysteries are answered by one answer.
Oh yeah. No. I think it's going to be like a domino effect of like this leads into this type of thing. But yeah, some stuff has got to get wrapped up sometime soon, that which is why I think like the Bianca stuff probably will happen next episode.
Yeah.
But
that makes sense. You mean so, Brandy Jane?
Yes. Brandy Jane. So after visiting the coroner's office, like the sheriff is determined. He's like, this is it. I got to go arrest Gomez. So while everyone's enjoying the buffet and all of this stuff, and Enid's mom is telling her how disappointed she is in Enid and all of this stuff is happening. Sheriff just like walks in, arrests Gomez, and like Morticia kind of cries. Like she doesn't cry, but she just kind of cries.
Yeah. I don't think it was in her contract to cry. So she wasn't going to do that work. And I,
an extra
it.
Zero per
exactly.
Tier.
Things are made of gold. yeah, this, you know, I really don't like shows of force like this. You know, unless they're for like really bad people, you know.
Or it was like an emergent danger situation.
Like he was, you know, they got incredible intel that he was on the verge of killing someone else. He's sitting down and having a meal of food with his family at an incredibly well-appointed buffet, I should say.
It was pretty fancy.
There's something on the menu for any matter of person or creature you might be. And they had so many options. It was like a fogo de chao in there.
I love that, like, Wednesday wasn't hungry. She's like, hunger eludes me. Like, the truth eludes you. And I was like, whoa.
She's so moody.
It was good. Yeah, but, yeah. Like, just busts right in and arrests them.
In front of everyone.
So, it's like he's making a statement. He's, like, it's a whole to-do.
It's
that
a whole
didn't need to be done.
That never needed to be done based on evidence that was planted. And I don't even think they did due diligence to see whether or not the evidence was planted.
Yeah.
Just but believe every old note you read. Don't look at the circumstances of the crime.
Don't think critically.
No.
Well, Wednesday, you know, is going to have to go visit her dad in jail. Like, she cannot let this stand. And I thought this and Thing has to come too.
Of course. Thing is so sad. He just slides down.
The hand. Yeah, I thought this was really sweet. This is where we get, you know, Gomez's side of the story, saying that Garrett was infatuated with Morticia. Morticia mistook mistook Morticia's kindness and like started stalking this person, stalking Morticia. And he had come to the Raven with murderous intent and they fought on the scaffolding and this was a terrible accident. And once he's like, I would have believed it if I hadn't played Russian roulette with this man all of this time and knew about his tells.
First of all, don't play Russian roulette. Second of all, Check. Don't do it with your children. And Double third check. Of all, bravo to Wednesday for knowing your dad's tells.
I thought it was good. And he says, you know, like, I'm sorry I wasn't a better father. And she responds and says, you know, you taught me to be strong and independent, to never lose sight of myself. You've been more than adequate. And this reminded me a lot of, like, me and my dad. Like there are times where we have like conversations like this and it was really sweet. And it ends, you know, with him saying gracias Wednesday. And I was like, oh, was like, Spanish.
I know. I love that they speak Spanish to each other, but that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, and it's like one word at a time, but you know what? We'll take it.
We'll take the Spanglish. This is just a very sad scene, and it's, you know, Gomez again, we eventually learn, taking the rap for Morticia, because that's just how much he loves her. And we'll discuss this later, but it's very cute when Wednesday and Pugsley are having a conversation.
Yeah.
And they talk about how their parents have never spent a night apart since they were married. You know, that has got to hurt. So,
and I'm sure probably even before then. I mean,
yeah,
they've been connected at the hip for such a long time.
Yeah, since high school.
Yeah.
That's so rare.
I mean, Gomez would wear orange.
I know.
Protect Morticia.
That is saying a lot. Like,
it's a lot. Like, yeah. Forget about like taking the fall on the attempted murder.
Exactly. I mean, we all know that orange was never going to be the new pink.
New poof. But it either was it, orange wasn't the new black in this case.
No. Also, no. Just orange.
Yes. So Wednesday, knowing her father, knows that, you know, Gomez didn't do it, heads into the sheriff's office, kind of has the same conversation that we just had. Like, listen, this is mighty convenient. And the sheriff's like, well, we have a signed confession. And we also learn that there's no DNA match. But we then also learn that, like, the sheriff is blaming Gomez for, like, the death of the entire Gates family.
Right.
I was like, what?
How obsessed are you with this case that you have decided in your own tiny little pebble of a mind that not only did Gomez commit a murder, but because he committed the murder, it led the dominoes to fall in a way that led to the deaths of everyone else in the family.
Yeah, and I feel like in the scene we also got the story about how like the Gates family owned the land that Nevermore is on, and like they felt like it was stolen from them. So I think this is like a subverted commentary on current situations in the world, which I thought was interesting because it's just like this white man has lost his power,
right,
from the outcasts, and the sheriff is citing, like, feels like it's not just like keeping it to the isolated incident, he's like spreading it through generations and stuff like that. And it just struck me as I could be reading way too much into it and giving
I don't think you are. I think it's definitely supposed to hint. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's definitely supposed to hint at that, at kind of the, you know, 2022 being the year of the disgruntled white man, essentially believing that their things have been stolen by people who don't deserve them and didn't work for them. Yeah. You know, like they worked for them. Question mark? What?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the tiniest veiled criticism that anyone could ever levy. It's so subtle that most people will probably miss it.
I know. I'm like, eh.
Just because it needs to be just, you could just say it.
I think if I wasn't looking, like, I think me, even, you know, 5-7 years ago, probably wouldn't have picked up on on this.
We're professional watchers now, people.
But even just, you know, the conversations I've had since then and how I've grown in my awareness of things, you know, it's just a different lens to look at life with.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, while Wednesday's trying to avenge her family against the police force, Enid, like, this situation, this Enid interaction with her mom, I mean, this is obviously, like, I know what I just said about the Gates family could be a little bit of a stretch, but this was 100% blatant, like, commentary on conversion therapy when it comes to the LGBTQIA community, because you have like this girl dressed up in rainbows talking to her mom. Her mom gives her a gift of all of these like camp brochures to like convert her into a werewolf, because don't you just want to be normal? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. You're doing it this way, show?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. A little ham-fisted, maybe. But I get the parallels, sure. And it's not that I'm saying that this is an important topic to have a discussion about. I think that media has just kind of let me down in the way that it discusses it. Not just here, but there is a quote-unquote horror, quote-unquote movie called They/Them. And it's on Peacock if you want to just laugh your way through a movie about something that should be serious. And immediately know who the killer is. But it was just so poorly done. And there's just kind of, you know, it was the most interesting part about it was, you know, the people who had been sent to the camp, and we weren't allowed to sit with them in their, you know, like trying to be free and trying to be themselves. And, you know, on this is a much smaller scope. But I just don't think that anyone is sticking the landing that well when it comes to talking about what it's like to have to deal with the possibility of conversion therapy.
Well, I thought it was interesting that this was in the context, which has been done before, of like a supernatural being.
Yes.
Like equating.
That's definitely been done before.
You know, being queer to being a non-human, which is bad enough to begin with. But I don't know, like, I think I have to trust that my reaction to the scene is what they wanted me to get
yes.
out of it.
I think that that's what they wanted out of it.
And I'm glad it was, like, just short. I'm glad Enid, you know, stood up for herself in the end of it all. Mm-hmm. But I was not expecting the brochures. I'm just gonna say it. I was not expecting
brochures.
I mean, my mom always used to like fake say, she was like, I have a brochure to a convent in the Alps that I'll send you to if like things get really, and I was
wow.
like, what? Yeah, I know, right? Like, yeah, but I never saw an actual brochure. This woman had actual brochures.
It yeah, no, she's been doing her homework on how to best quote unquote fix her daughter.
Yeah.
So yeah, it really is terrible. And it's sad to see her dad, who seems like she has a much better relationship with, because he just seems like a much better person. But often in relationships like that between, you know, two people that are married, the more dominant one is the one that gets the say. And even if you disagree with everything they have to say, your quiet passivity means that they get to essentially make all the rules.
And it can also be read by the child as acceptance of
yes.
the situation as well.
Exactly.
And that's not a fun place for Enid to be in.
No, to feel like she has no support within her family, in addition to not being able to wolf out and have a pack.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, her brothers and sisters are like playing frisbee.
Oh,
they're
gosh.
Not even like interacting with her. I thought it was
no. It's wild. Okay. I have a theory.
Okay, I'm ready to hear it.
What if the reason that Enid can't turn into a werewolf is because she turns into something else completely different?
Okay, so I had a feeling that's where you were going, which is why I was thinking earlier in this episode about the person having to know enough about murder stuff, and like all of the clues are in Enid's room.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, she would be an under the radar type of person.
She's the person you probably least suspect other than Eugene, but it could also be Eugene because, you know, there's been no attack since he's been in the hospital.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, going back to all the attacks, Enid at the farmer's market, the harvest festival.
They're the same.
It wasn't near Wednesday. Like, she was away. She just like tried to hug her and she said goodbye and she was there. So that's one place. When Eugene was attacked, where was Enid? Do we know?
Allegedly at the dance, right?
Oh, yeah, with Lucas.
Right. But, you know, there were times we didn't see.
Yeah, I mean, it's plausible. It's plausible.
I mean, you know, also Miss Thornhill definitely disappeared during the dance after she had been explicitly told to watch Wednesday.
I know. But we don't, I don't know. I think, I don't know. We'll see.
I know. It's not that I want these theories to be accurate. Because I know. I don't want the answer to this to be the person you least suspect, Enid.
Yeah.
Or the person who used to play this role of Wednesday, Christina
Thornhill.
Ricci, like Miss Thornhill. Like, I just don't, that's not. That doesn't, I love mysteries, and I love when the mystery is solved by something cool and inventive that you would never have thought of otherwise. And I don't like cliches as much as a result of that.
What if they made Cousin It like not cool? And Cousin It is like now the creature.
He loses all that hair to become a creature. No, think that they would find it?
No, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways it could go, but I do see the suspectability on Enid from where you're coming from.
It's there, you know, and it would be something that she would be ashamed to talk about because she comes from a family of werewolves.
Do you think she knows, though?
I think... to an extent, there has to be awareness, because remember we saw the cave with the scratch marks, but it also had restraints,
mm-hmm.
like trying to maybe keep yourself restrained. It might just be that, you know, she does what she does as the monster and she can't control herself, but I guess she doesn't kill Wednesday. That kind of takes away from not being able to control herself.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. We got eyes on you, Enid.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that by the end of this podcast run, before we get the answers, that I have said every possible character's name as a suspect. So I've covered
student
all
number
of the
five.
Bases. Student, yeah, exactly.
What if it's student number five?
It's student number three. I picked them out of a lineup. First name student. Last name three.
Three. Well, Enid is hanging out with her family, I guess. Wednesday is also hanging out with her family. Pugsley's like kind of having a little pout on the pier.
Yeah.
He's just like, go away.
Love the alliteration.
Oh, thank you. Stop trying to be nice, like all of the stuff. And she's like, brings fishing gear to Pugsley. And basically they have this conversation about, which I thought was a little relatable, because as parents get older, it's like you have to be the strong one. Like, parents are going through like this transition. If their parents are going to be in jail, like, it's going to change your role in the family, type of thing. Not saying that my parents have ever gone to jail, but my parents are getting older.
And I was like, gonna say, you're about to make a big reveal on this podcast.
The role of a daughter or of a son in this way, you know, Wednesday tells him, you know, you're going to have to be strong for a mom. Which I thought, you know, was different for him. And because he thought he was going to be the first one to be behind bars.
It was his dream. That also doesn't make sense because Fester.
Well, yes. Unless they're talking about just like the
just
four
like,
of them.
Oh, the four of them. Okay. I think it's very, I mean, Pugsley in all iterations is adorable. Just like they cast the cutest kids to play Pugsley. And this Pugsley is so sweet. Like, he still enjoys fishing with live bait in the form of like actual bombs.
Yeah, I was going to ask, I'm not a big fisher person. I'm not a big fisher person.
Uh-huh. It's pronounced fisherist.
No, what are they called? Anglers. I'm not a huge angler.
I'm not either, but every man with a dating profile is.
Sure is. Sure is. Yeah.
I love fish.
I don't know like the efficacy of a grenade when it comes to
No, it's the same fish. Way. I mean, people catch fish by using guns. Like, this is an actual thing that happens.
This is how much of not a fisher person I am.
I get, there's a part of my personality that tunes into way too much like reality TV content sometimes about like people, like white people in the woods doing wood stuff. And they're always like, yeah, just go and grab this rifle over here and go out there and shoot ourselves some fish. And it's like,
you shoot fish in a barrel.
And apparently in open water too. Or they use, what are they called? Like guns that shoot like grapple hooks.
Yeah.
So a bomb, you know, it gets the job done.
He's so happy about it.
He is.
he just really loved it. But if you are a person who fishes, let us know if that is an acceptable, I don't think it's very humane for the fish.
No.
But if,
or the water in general, or like anything else living there.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a man who has a fish, like a trophy, is one of the pictures on your dating profile, tell us why.
We don't need to see it.
We don't need to see it, but tell us why.
I would like to know. Yeah, that, I mean, what
honestly,
is that?
This
what
is does
that
mean? Just sociological research for me.
Yeah, I would like to know. Well, after talking with Pugsley on the pier, Wednesday meets Morticia in the Nightshades room. Randomly. Yeah. Well, speaking of cults, we got the Morning Song and the Nightshades. Interesting. I wonder if they're connected. Interesting.
Huh.
Anyway, Morticia and Wednesday are hanging out in the Nightshades room, and they have a complicated mom and daughter relationship. And they have their conversation about how Wednesday feels like she can never live up to Morticia's legacy, that like sending me here is basically saying that I only exist in your shadow. Yeah. And Morticia's like, you know, not everything's a competition. Wednesday's like, no, everything's a competition.
Oh, I agree with Wednesday.
Whoa.
Everything is a competition.
I am not I'll get caught up in a competition, but I could take it or leave it.
I don't know who I am if I'm not competing.
That's why you are in debate. Morticia talks a little bit about how the Nightshades used to be more than, you know, because she asked her, like, why haven't you joined? If they asked you to join, why didn't you join? And she's like, no, I don't want to be a part of this. And she says, you know, we used to be more. We used to protect outcasts from harm. Mm. And the Nightshades were actually founded by Goody Adams, who came from Mexico. What?
Yeah.
First
absolutely
of all,
wild.
How, I mean, that's a long, I mean, for the 1600s, that's a long way to go.
Yeah.
But this
how
is
old
also,
is this school?
This is also
oh my God.
When Morticia tells Wednesday that it wasn't Gomez that killed Garrett.
Yeah.
She adds some more details to the story here by saying that Garrett came to the Raven foaming in the mouth, looking like a rabid beast. And so this gives Wednesday some more clues as to what she thinks happened.
I'm such an idiot that when she said all of those symptoms, I went rabies.
Me too. I was like, oh, is this guy a werewolf that also has rabies? I don't understand. Bitten? Yeah, what's going on?
And then I like slowly but surely like deleted rabies from my notes.
Like letter by letter?
Yes. Because that's how ashamed I was. And I felt like it was important to sit in it.
Well, I mean,
I'm really glad that you came to that same conclusion, because I was like, oh, I've solved a mystery in this show.
I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
This gives Wednesday some more questions, so much so that she decides the only solution is to dig this guy.
Yeah. You know, noted lover of autopsies, Wednesday Adams.
And like smelling, like she loves the
smell
loved
the
body.
Smell of death. She was waffling that stuff in like it was a pumpkin spice something like, or other.
Wafting.
Yeah. Did I say waffling? I'm just hungry.
So, yeah.
Hey, waffle in that scent, Marissa.
I gotta be honest, I did not expect there to be a body because I was like, oh, well, maybe Garrett's the creature.
Yes, I and thought the same thing. When there was a body, I was like, oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Once he notices that, basically she takes a finger off off of Garrett because she probably
need it.
Well, it's Wednesday. Because Morticia and Wednesday get promptly arrested for obviously digging up a dead body.
Clearly digging up a grave.
Yes. And so
a
when
giant
she
light.
She pulls out the finger that she took from him. She notices it's like purple. And so the hypothesis here is that Garrett was dying before he was even stabbed by the sword, no matter who did it, because he was poisoned by nightshade poison.
Yes. But there is a thing in the law called but-for causation.
I'm sorry, but but-for?
But-for causation.
Not but-five, not no. but-six,
nope,
but-for.
But-for.
Okay.
And essentially it means, but for this action, this other action would not have occurred. So if it had not been in, you know, more human speak, because everything in the law is rooted in like British law, common yes. law. So, you know, it's everything is ye old, but for.
Freaking Puritans again.
Yeah. And so much Latin.
Yeah.
Whew. But yeah, but for, or had it not been for Morticia stabbing him, then he would not have fallen down and died the way
well,
he did. Even though
the cause
he was
of death
already
dead. Yes. The cause of death in that instance was the fall. The cause of death was not the nightshade poison. So therefore,
exactly.
that yes, that
she
makes
killed
sense.
That man.
Yes.
Which yeah. I honestly, that man was attacking her. I'm not one of those people like who's gonna shy away when a man is attacking me and not even like the help that I have here can do anything about it. If I have a chance, I'm gonna pick up a weapon. Like this is the type of thing that's gonna come back and haunt me. I'm gonna be in a future true crime podcast hosted by Mari and Sarah, where they're just gonna play clips
on the LaTanya story.
They're just gonna play clips from this podcast to prove why I'm guilty. So I'm gonna stop talking.
We both said some things today that could be
we've said some
podcast.
Things.
But anyway, yes. So she sees this vision where it confirms that, you know, Garrett's dad gave him nightshade poison, put it in a pocket, and was basically like, put this in the punch and poison the entire school because they took my land and all this stuff. And Garrett's like, yeah, dad, I'm going to go do that because, like, Morticia's not paying attention to me. So I'm going to go. And so he goes. But when he first encounters Gomez, maybe Gomez is, like, also, I don't know. But Gomez, like, pushes him and this is where the bottle of poison like seeps into like cuts him and like seeps into him and that's how he's been poisoned.
Oh,
and so
yeah,
therefore
they were both completely responsible yeah. for this man's death. Like this is the thing that makes no sense to me when they blackmail the sheriff. I'm just like, dude, you could still be arrested for this, both of you now. Two of you can be arrested for his murder. Great.
it was just like, okay, well, that's it. And then somehow Wednesday and Morticia get out of jail to go visit the mayor to even have this conversation.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't get how that happened, but they use the fact that they know that the mayor covered up this crime, covered up this whole situation to basically say, like, just let Gomez go because mm-hmm. we know this, you know this, yada yada yada, this doesn't make any sense, so just let Gomez go. And Morticia's like mainly because she had put in a complaint about Garrett and the stalking before, and the mayor had not taken it seriously, so she's like, in return you can drop all the charges on my husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I did.
Yeah, it would be, you know, Wednesday doesn't use social media, but everyone else does. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that getting on Enid's blog? It would be everywhere.
It's true.
So, you know, it makes sense that this small town mayor, formerly sheriff, would.
Maybe the mayor is working with Weem.
I wouldn't be surprised if the two of them were, because it seemed like there was a little bit of chemistry going.
Ooh.
between the two of them in that coffee shop when they met at the Weather Vane.
Well, and we also hypothesized that Weems might not be the real Weems.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because we still don't know who that man was, or if she just transit, like, not transition, good Lord. If she just
shape-shifted
into a man in order to get out of the men's bathroom.
Yeah.
Because that's a very random, I hope that gets explained. Because it's very random to just involve this man for no reason.
And who is that man? We still don't know.
Oh.
Because Morticia had seen Wednesday have a vision in jail, she decides to like have this conversation. It was like a really
cute, it was great.
Great conversation. She's like, I'm sorry you felt you couldn't tell me. I'm always here for you. And Wednesday really opens up to her mom and is like, look, I can't control this. And Morticia tells Wednesday, you know, your powers are a reflection of who we are, which this is stuff we never got from the original Addams Family because they didn't have these powers. And she says that Wednesday is a raven, more powerful, more potent. But if you don't learn how to control this, like this can lead to madness. And the only way you're going to get help is if someone from our bloodline reaches out for help. Mm-hmm. Or to help you. And Wednesday's like, well, that's Goody. Goody's been doing this. And Morticia kind of warns, is like, Goody is a good witch, but
barely.
She's also vengeful and she couldn't and save murderer. Herself. So
like me.
Yeah. Morticia the murderer.
Yes, she apparently killed Cracky Tails.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of murder in this family.
My goodness.
But I hope that like in a future episode, we get some more, like, I hope Goody does try to reach out, and maybe not through a vision, like maybe through an apparition or like through thing or something. Like we get just more Goody trying to help Wednesday.
Yes. I'm interested in weird Wednesday. Is that what we were calling Creepy Wednesday?
Yeah, Creepy Wednesday.
I always love how the ancestors that come back to help you in a movie or a TV show almost always miraculously look exactly like you, except for one major feature. I would be all in for a conversation through time and space between Goody and Wednesday. I would be open for an episode that's just an extended vision as well.
Sure.
Because that could get, I mean, we're talking about the trippy world of Tim Burton, right? That's the kind of thing that they could really soar with. It, you know, is there
like
a lot
whole
of,
episode that's a vision?
That's a vision, yeah.
Ooh.
Like episodes of TV that are about dreams, like you can do a lot more in that space than you can just in reality.
It's true.
Because of how surreal everything is. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. We've got to get our Brandy Jane episode. she wants to be called Bianca. We got to get our Bianca episode. We got to get our, this is a full like apparition or not apparition. This is a full vision episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just solve 5,000 mystery questions that we have and then we're good.
All in a day's work. All in a 3 episodes left. We do also, you know, after this conversation, get a cute little family hug by the Addams family.
That was really sweet. You
know, like, aw.
Probably could, like, mark the last time they hugged on a calendar. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Back at school, everyone's starting to say goodbye to their families. And I just love how Enid does it. She just like walks up and she's like, I'm not going to camp, mom. Like, this is not, you know, I'm gonna be me until you finally accept me for who I am. And I love, as much as I wish the dad would have protected and talked a little bit more about Enid prior to this, his response of you do you was pretty good.
I think it was a missed opportunity for Enid to perform the song This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. But other than that,
she probably has like a gazillion times in that room before Wednesday moved in. Like, it's very, there's enough room for activities, you know?
Oh, I know I would have. I like, honestly, I feel bad for everyone who's ever lived anywhere near me. because the singing does not just occur in the shower. It's just throughout the apartment, always has been, always will be.
Are you a siren?
You know, we'll talk about this off pod. But yeah, I do think what Enid does here to turn down those brochures and not go to one of those creepy conversion camps,
yeah,
is fantastic. It's lovely that she also has the privilege to do so and still be financially backed by her parents.
Yes.
Because in the real case of conversion camps, that is not the case. People are often disowned.
Yeah.
And that means that they have no more money. So
yeah, they often don't have the agency or the choices that Enid has in the situation. Yes,
exactly.
For sure.
So
for sure.
While I'm glad that she used her voice, I think it's important to note that you know, she does have privilege in being able to do so.
Yes, agreed. Bianca also tells her mom something. She doesn't say no 100%. She just basically says, like, yeah, okay, I'll help you, but like, you're gonna have to wait till after the school year's over. Mm-hmm. And that's the last time I'm gonna help you, type of thing. She's drawing some boundaries.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. The idea that a siren song could dry up is interesting. And the fact that we haven't seen anyone yet be influenced by the siren song is just a waste, in my opinion.
I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure it's coming.
So much time on bees. Come on.
The fuzzy wuzzy babies. This is true. There has been a lot of bee talk. And then the Addams family says goodbye, and Morticia is like, talking about how she was reminded of all these wonderful times. And she says to Wednesday, like, even though I'm living in this nostalgia, basically, I recognize that you have your own path to blaze. Like, it's okay. You can go do your own thing. I don't want to be a stranger in your life. I'm here for you. I'm only a crystal ball away.
Yeah, that like almost made me tear up a little bit. I've become noted, emotional person this week in any given pop culture context. But yeah, that definitely got to me because those are just all words that anyone would want their parent to say to them, minus the crystal ball.
And it,
you know,
and it, I think it hit a little bit more for me now that I know, like, because Wednesday was so vulnerable with her before that, like, I think Wednesday's receiving this message, even though Morticia might have said it a couple of times before.
Yeah,
I feel like this time it stuck.
And dredging up some family secrets in this case helped bring the family closer together. You know, it got everybody arrested with the exception of Pugsley, who's just eating his potpourri and killing fish with a grenade. But ultimately, they had a group hug, so all's well that ends well.
It's the most normal one. Yeah. Oh. And we got, like, this little air kiss situation.
Yeah, that was so that she wouldn't mess up her lipstick.
So the Addams family says goodbye, and Wednesday, and I don't know, did I miss something in this last scene? Because she just basically like goes into Weems's office and is like, I know you were a shapeshifter, and I know that's like why how did she
so remember earlier in the episode where Morticia was like, can we keep this yearbook as like a stolen memory lane?
Oh, because of Judy Garland. Because of the Judy Garland.
Right,
of
the Judy Garland, which honestly is, I was like, what?
Yeah, so I guess what she did is she took the information that her and her mom did this Judy Garland duet, and when she looked at the picture, she was like, oh, that is Judy Garland. The only way that that can happen is that Principal Weems is the shapeshifter.
No, that part made sense to me, but the whole turn of events and the way that she found out was seeing her shift into Judy Garland is a level of ridicularity that I don't think that we are able to handle. I would go as far as to say it's no longer ridiculous, but it's just ridiculous now.
I feel like this episode was like, okay, so we started this thing with Gomez being an attempted murderer, and we have this like other thing happening. How do we cross the streams? I know, we'll have episode 5 be this wacky, like, discovery, truth-telly type of thing, where it's basically like a potpourri of truth. because we get like the truth about Enid's family, the truth about Bianca's family, right. the truth about the Addams family, the truth about Principal Reams. So it's just kind of like take your pick.
Yeah.
What truth
we needed answers to all of them. We already knew the answer to that, but you know, yeah. I guess Wednesday didn't. I have a question for you. Is yeah. this show good?
I mean, I'm
so call it. That's it.
I mean, I'm sure if I were binging it,
That's
it
true.
Would have been an enjoyable weekend watch.
Yes, it was definitely. I like the way we're doing it, honestly, because I think that it's way
us.
More fun.
It's fun for other people.
I hope that you all listening are having a good time, because we have just been ourselves completely during this podcast. Like, this is a conversation that Marissa and I would have on the phone, honestly. for the same amount of time. So I just had to ask myself that question, because I was watching a video essay earlier today about why it's the decline of television, essentially, and why streaming content yeah. and the need for producing it means that, you know, the content has gotten worse and worse, just because quantity over quality is the streaming model.
Well, and we even saw, like, I think it was reported today in the Discord.
I was just
like,
about to say, yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that Wednesday is now the most watched television show within a one-week period, surpassing Stranger Things
in terms of hours.
In terms of hours watched. It was something wild, like 34.1 million hours or something.
Does this mean that, like, people are watching it twice? I don't know. I was like, wow.
I mean
it's
sure
a different demographic, I will say. That
we are partly responsible for some of that watching, because we have been watching these episodes twice a couple times just to have notes.
The podcation inflation.
It's the podification of streaming.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. I thought that would be an interesting question.
I mean, as of episode 5, I think this is an enjoyable TV show.
Yeah.
If it is a good TV show, I will reserve judgment till the end, just to kind of see how it goes. But it's very layered, kind of disjointed at this point. And I think this episode, you know, if I were being with my critic hat on, was a bit disjointed in terms of how they tried to have an intersection of all of these stories, and then introducing the Bianca storyline to me
right.
was really kind of surprising. And if it sticks longer than one episode, I'm gonna be like, not if it's not resolved by
right.
next episode, it'll be a little
messy. There are some good notes in this episode, I think, but overall episode 5 may belong in Uriah's heap.
Yeah. Good call. That was good. Yeah. Well, before we end, I do just want to end on the note of the episode. There's like this fire will rain message.
What is that
towards
mean?
The end? What does that even mean?
Why is it written in fire?
I mean, okay, so what do we know about fire in this universe? The only thing I can think of is that the tree, like, in the opening credits, that one time
right.
we got
yes.
them.
We did
and
go through those.
The tree is on fire. And then also in the drawing that of Goody and Joseph Crackstone, there's obviously, like, a fire, and then, like, the meeting house fire.
Right.
So I don't know if this is, like, what if the creature is Joseph Crackstone? I have no idea.
Ugh, like an undead Joseph Crackstone.
Yeah. Go dig up his grave. If there's a body, then it's not him. If there's no body, then...
Exactly. I don't know why the undead Joseph Crackstone would save Wednesday's life.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he was feeling guilty about a crime he did many, many centuries ago. And then he could...
I can help this one.
He's trying to right the wrongs.
Yeah. You know, if the killer turns out to be Cracky Tails, I will laugh my ass off.
Oh,
I will.
Where's the hat? Like, I need the creature to be wearing the hat.
Yeah, there's not nearly enough soft shoe in this show. Although,
right.
I will note, speaking of dancing real quick,
yeah.
that Jenna Ortega choreographed that dance that we saw in the Raven episode, and I thought that was really cool. She apparently looked at videos of 80s goth kids dancing to like get all of the footwork down.
And I think she also drew upon the original
Wednesday Addams. There's a video going around YouTube comparing the two of them doing the mashed potato.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, dance like, yeah. Like dance like no one's watching like Wednesday.
Exactly.
All right. So just do we want to sum up our usual suspects before we sign off? So you're high. Yeah. Who's your number one right now?
Okay. For which mystery?
Whichever one comes to mind first. Okay. For like, I mean, I guess
for the monster.
Yeah. For the creature thing.
I still don't have a good read. Maybe Tyler.
You're not sticking with Weems?
I mean, I think that Weems is working with someone to do nefarious things. I guess Weems could shapeshift into a monster. That makes sense. But learning that Weems is a shapeshifter so early on in the run,
yeah,
would make that really a stale reveal. Yeah. So I'm hoping that's not the case. And I'm hoping that it's someone that we only medium suspect.
Where is the real Weems? If this isn't the real Weems, yeah, where is she?
I know. Is that a theory that still works? That this isn't the real Weems?
I really wanted like Morticia to ask her like some sort of question. Like, remember that one time we wore pink? And she would be like, yes or no, depending. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted some sort of like.
I thought that them meeting together, you know, would have more of an impact than Morticia seeing that her page was torn out of the yearbook and then Wednesday having to hand that yearbook back over to Weems.
Yeah.
That's all we got out of that scene.
It was interesting. Yeah. And if we're supposed to be, I don't know. I don't know if they don't want to make it obvious. The thing is, people like to know something. You don't have to tell me all of the things, but I need to sort of know something. So I'm hoping we get to know something soon. I think Weems is being used.
Really? By whom?
I don't know. I think she's like, for lack of a better term, the Survivor reference meat shield in this situation. Like she's like her story of not, you know, getting along well with Morticia, like lines up with all of this sort of, but again, the creature is saving Wednesday. So I think it's like, I don't know. I still have a lot on Miss Thornhill, even though we didn't get anything this episode.
We didn't get anything from Miss Thornhill this episode. And Miss Thornhill, I am for the pairing of Miss Thornhill and Weems.
Yeah. I could see
like being responsible for some things and Weems maybe shapeshifting into, you know, the creature in order to escalate things or whatever it is they're doing. Cause chaos that puts Wednesday Addams at the center of everything. I don't know. The motive here is tenuous at best.
Yeah, what is it?
What is the motive? What was the reason?
Oh boy. This show should be like Wednesday ?
That we went from last episode being like, oh, what a great show. And now we're just like, Lord.
It was the dance.
Yeah, it was definitely the dance. Like, Lord, please give us strength. How are we gonna get through this damn show?
We could do it. We'll do it.
It's honestly watching it be able to talk to you about it is like, that's the fun that I'm getting out of this show. The podcasting.
The only thing I wanted to throw in the mix here for the unusual suspects. And it's not a suspect. It's just a correlation that I've picked up on.
Okay.
Remember the dude who was dropped off on the side of the road who went into the woods in the first time?
The first victim we see on screen.
Didn't he look like an adult Eugene?
Ooh.
Like, I don't know. I was just like, brown hair, glasses.
Yeah. Vest. I feel like that's outside, just like every hipster, though.
That could be. But I'm like, you know, I'm on high alert for coincidences.
You're right from suggesting from the get-go that it is weird that the attacks have stopped for a week during the time where Eugene is in a coma.
Yeah, and so I feel like if the creature is Eugene, he doesn't know
Aww.
Like he might be like, he might have gotten bitten by something and doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because he's always looking for bugs in the woods.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Anyway,
I do wonder what attacked him.
Yeah.
Or did he attack himself?
I don't know. I don't know. So many questions. Anyway, stay tuned next week for more questions.
On our podcast, Questions About Wednesday.
Questions any day of the week.
Yeah.
All right, LaTanya, I know you've got a lot of other things happening out there on the internet.
Really.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I mean, things are really slowing down for the holiday season, I'll say, because I'm sure they're going to pick up. You can find me if you're on the Discord. I'm going to be playing some Dungeons and Dragons coming up pretty soon. On December 1st, I'm in a game. And then, Lord willing, December 11th, I'm in a game. It's just, I love Dungeons and Dragons, but I am the ultimate flake because I never know how my body is going to feel until that day.
Yeah.
So it's really annoying. We appeared on Nothing But Netflix. I know we talked about this, but for those of you all who haven't gone back to listen to that episode, it's a really funny one. Rob and Chappelle invited us over, and we had such a good time talking about the first episode of this show, Wednesday. So if you have a chance, please check us out over at Nothing But Netflix. You can find accompanying 90s nostalgia on the Shit 90s Shows Taught Me with Sarah and Jess, where we covered the first Addams Family movie that came out in the 90s and how it still stands up. Like, it's still a really good movie, and Thing is the VIP of it. What else? I covered episode 1 of The Crown and episodic coverage with Grace. I believe they're on episode 5 at the moment. And I think that I'll be coming back to do kind of a full season recap along with, Grace, Sarah Ferguson, and
Shannon Gus.
Thank you very much. And then just if you don't like waiting, like some of us can't, I know I couldn't for The Crown, for what it was worth, the full season recap with me and Sarah Ferguson is up and out there. So please find a spoiler-filled 2-hour conversation about the entire season 5 of The Crown. And we finally recorded our season finale of Andor with DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick, but there's more Star Wars content coming to you, said Disney, but also said post-show recaps. So
where the mouse goes, we go.
Yeah, basically. any Star Wars, I'm just like, put me in, coach. I'm ready to talk about this cultural phenomenon. So yeah, you can catch that episode, but then, you know, keep up with our feed because we will be releasing some bonus content for you in the very near future.
Yeah.
And then you can follow me on Twitter again for the time being. We're just kind of seeing how it's going at LK Starks.
And recording, so fingers crossed it's still around.
I know, we'll see. That's days from now. It's all very, very scary. And I'm also on Instagram at stormborn1222, where I'm gonna post pictures of how I looked on my first date that I went on last night. So there, America. She's back.
did you feel it? Well, for myself, I am here on this here podcast. I am talking about Mediapedia, which is a patron-only podcast that I do with Grace Leader and guests. We are answering some big questions about media. It's our own media encyclopedia podcast. If you would like to listen to us hypothesize about, you know, how historically accurate something should be, or what a bad season of TV does, come and join us. You can join us at patreon.com/postshowrecaps or postshowrecaps.com/patreon, and you'll get access to our exclusive via, it's very VIP, patron
very
only
VIP,
very VIP patron only podcast feed, and then also access to the Discord. where you can join in our conversations here. We're also having a great time just like reminiscing about everything that happened in 2022. So if you'd like to join in those conversations, the Discord is like looking at some old shows that like 2022 has been a long year. You'd be amazed at how much TV we've watched this year. So we're kind of reminiscing in that mood. But other than that, you can find me on Twitter, if it's still there, at Mars Bars, MarzBars. Until next time, stay spooky.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.